This is CliffCentral.com.
For many, Valentine's Day is a day to celebrate love. For others, it's a Western construct designed to rape love and rip love of its purity for the purposes of a capitalistic agenda. Irrespective of how you feel about the day, this episode is not about Cupid or Valentine's, but it's about love. And not the romantic type, but self-love. If you follow this podcast regularly, this episode will be very different from what you've become accustomed to. I've been working on a vitiligo campaign with two extraordinary women, and this show is inspired and dedicated to their lives and their work. If you're not aware, vitiligo is essentially a skin condition that manifests with white patches on the skin, even on white people, but you can't just see it. And when these patches appear over the face in abundance with significant size, they can be devastating to the individual experiencing it. Before you log off thinking, I don't have vitiligo and I love myself, so let me move on. Stay here. My goal for the show is for you to consider two critical things. One, how you love yourself and its impact on your self-esteem. And secondly, how those you love, love themselves and your role in their self-esteem. I am your host, Timothy Maurice, and this is, of course, the Brain and Brand Show, the show that interrogates the relationship between people and brands. Today, we'll focus on the people side. And as you know, brands are impacted by people. The one thing I am sure of is we all travel a road to self-love. And on this road, we are confronted with failures, insecurities, voices from family members who we are not sure if they love us or not. Or worse, family members such as fathers who told us quite bluntly that they never loved us. Or those who left us in that cold, isolated love prison, a prison where love was locked away, where we were never told we were loved. I personally was never told by my father that he loved me until a couple years ago, even after growing up with him my entire life. After a conversation he and I had where I confronted him about how pathetic I thought he treated my mom as well as my sister and I. But I told him this, ready to share a higher truth. I shared this with him with the arm of empathy, explaining that I understood the history and context he came from and why he felt trapped in some bullshit idea of what masculinity meant and how living up to that label meant survival for him. Getting to this point required me to reconcile, not necessarily fully heal, but I did have to come to terms with the full extent of the story. To not even fully understand, but I needed to be able to see more moving pieces than just he didn't say he loved me. To be able to see that he also had influences that overwhelmed him. Similar influences as the ones that caused me to make stupid and hurtful decisions to other people, causing others harm. So after the arm of empathy was extended, we fell into a love embrace. And in my late 30s, we said it to each other for the very first time. I love you, Dad. I love you, son. And after I left his embrace, walked away and cried like a man, a new man, I began a new journey of loving myself. Whatever it is that's keeping you from fully experiencing your highest self, one that's built on a solid foundation of self-love, I hope this episode helps you climb higher in self-love. You're about to hear a couple conversations from two women I admire deeply, Nadia Rauji and Kwane Tlong, both of whom have vitiligo. Kwane is visible all over her skin, all over her face. She was born with rich chocolate skin, fully covered in chocolate. Beautiful, deep, brown, rich skin. And as we'll share, over the past few years, patches began to develop, and now her hands and arms are white. Half her face is covered white. As we sat in a meeting, where I'm helping her and Nadia spread awareness about their skin condition, she sat strong and radiant, having traveled a journey of self-love. And you'll hear in her voice that she has been down a journey. Nadia, who you also hear from after Horne, has vitiligo, but only visible in minor spots, such as on her lip and her eyelids, and spread slightly on other visible body parts, such as the top of her feet. Both are aware that many environmental conditions can cause the vitiligo to spread. Allow vitiligo to be symbolic for the obstacles you are experiencing on your road to self-love. At this meeting was Nadia's sister and Apalele, who both at the end share a poem about love. As we go through this conversation, just remember, this was kind of extemporaneous. I just happen to have my mics, which I carry with me everywhere I go now, my mics and my recording capacity. So this just happened. I looked around at them and I thought to myself, let me capture this moment. So that's what you're about to hear. Meet Khone. Enjoy.
My name is Khone Tlong. I'm a founder of Beyond Vitiligo.
So vitiligo is, just break down, what is exactly is vitiligo?
Vitiligo is a condition that you can see by having patches because of autoimmune diseases. What happens is that some of your cells, they are fighting each other and they end up producing patches on your body.
So patches on your skin and patches on your body. When was the first time when it was very noticeable when you had patches on your face?
I think it was 2011. I noticed a patch. It was under my eye. And then the other part where it was noticing more, it was on my hands.
And when it started to happen, did you know what you were experiencing? Or was it just a shock? You had no idea what was happening?
Actually, when I noticed one patch, it brought me back to that little girl who was very scared because it reappeared and it disappeared. And then it made me kind of like face my past. It forced me to be brave enough to face my past because I knew what happened when as a little girl having vitiligo or calling name because I looked different from most of the children because of the patches on the body. So it was a little bit traumatized because I was not ready to face that. I had to be comfortable first before I can be able to go back to my past. It was more like you have to be gentle with your insecurities because I believe that all of us, we have insecurities, but the minute if you overlook those insecurities, you'll never be able to move on from one place to another.
Wow. And speaking of insecurities, when did you fully embrace the new you, the Horne with vitiligo? And have you fully embraced to a point where you can say emphatically that I love myself?
Actually, what I did is that when my vitiligo reappeared, a mirror became one of the places that I didn't like. I hated the mirror so much because I always wish that whatever that I saw in the mirror, I wish I can see that beautiful young lady who doesn't get staring wherever I go. And I realized that, you know what? I'm tired of feeling pity for myself, which until now, I really feel pitiness. If you see me, I believe that it's better for you to ask me about my skin condition than to feel pity. I think I felt comfortable, and then I had to learn to love myself again because when I was a little girl, I was always like getting teased and all that. And when it disappeared, I was so happy because I was a teenager, and then yeah, you know, adolescent stage and all that. I'm like, yeah, I look like my friends and all that. So when I had to start embracing myself, I had to go back to myself. It had to be about me. I had to know what is there that I'm missing on myself. Because I'm like, if the self-caring is going to be wearing long stuff, covering myself, even though it's hot, that's not self-caring. I had to go back to redefine who I am and to feel comfortable in things that I'm scared to face.
Do you remember the day where you finally did look in the mirror and you went, I'm beautiful and I love myself? Do you remember that day?
Actually, I remember I was in a race because I stayed with one of the four ladies in a room. And I look at the mirror and I was practicing like, wow, is that me? And I got ashamed of myself. I'm like, okay, try it again. I'm like, wow, is that me? And then I'm like, okay, I'm doing well. And I started falling in love with myself. I'm like, oh my word, I'm so beautiful. And I started seeing something, like seeing the shapes on my face and trying to love it. And I drop a tear because I'm like, oh, what I've been doing to myself all these 2 years, even when I think about it, I get a little bit emotional because I realized that I lost so much time actually trying to fit in. I lost so much time trying to find the answers, because sometimes in the universe, you can ask so many questions, but it doesn't mean that you have to find all the answers for your questions. Sometimes you have to accept things that you cannot change, because I've taken so many medication and nothing was helping. But when I look at the mirror, seeing that 22-year-old looking yourself in the mirror, wow. I'm like, wow.
What year was this again?
I was staying in a rest. I was at Cedar City campus when I was doing my degree. So it happened one during university, and I was coming from semester. And after 2 years, when I had to rebond with myself, because I think I lost myself somewhere trying to fit in, because every time when I talk to someone, the first thing came to my mind, I'm like, oh my way, don't look at my patches. Oh my way, it's hot today. How am I going to dress up?
So this happened when you were in college, in university a few years ago, and you haven't looked back.
Yeah, I had a look back. It was so interesting, actually, because of, I wish I can go back to that little girl, which is myself. I'm referring to myself as that person here, because just to go to myself, to a 10-year-old, and give myself a hug, like, you know what, it's fine to feel like that. It's fine to be afraid. It only means that you are not ready. Don't ever in life do something that you are not ready for. If you are not ready, it's going to backfire. But if you are ready for something, there will be a product out of it.
Wow. I am so inspired. Like, you are a courageous, amazing soul. People can go to your website and they can log on and they can get in contact with you if they are grappling with self-love. If they have vitiligo, you can support them through your Vitiligo Foundation. Can you give us the details?
The details is www.beyondvitiligo.org. They can also find us on Twitter, which is Beyond Vitiligo at South Africa. And then on Instagram, it's beyond_vitiligo.
Thank you so much. And you're currently in the Destiny magazine with a friend of yours as well. When you saw yourself in the magazine, how did you feel?
Actually, when I saw the magazine, I was so excited. What I did is that I didn't read it immediately, because I always have this thing of not wanting to read something that I said, or not wanting to listen to my voice. It takes time for me to... So I look at the magazine, I look at the picture, and then I started sending my friends and the team that I'm working with that, yeah, guys, the magazine is out. You can get yourself a copy. So most people, they read the magazine, what is written, before I read it. I think I only read it like 2 weeks ago or something. I didn't have... I don't know. I was scared and excited at the same time. Yeah.
All the best, and thank you so much for joining us on Brain and Brand Show. Thank you so much, Kone. What a courageous soul. Next up, meet Nadia.
So in terms of insecurities, from a physical perspective, I think that the biggest thing is I do have vitiligo, similar to Kone. So I was in the Destiny magazine article with her, and that is an insecurity that I have, but I've never allowed it to stop me from growing in other areas of my life. And I think for me, whilst it's an insecurity, it's probably heightened as an insecurity, or I've become more aware of it being an insecurity since I've been on this journey of this campaign with you and Kone. But it's something that I'm dealing with, and I'm realizing I've always felt that I'm more than what I am physically. And I've always strived to be a better person. And those are the things that make me proud of who I am. It's not necessarily how I look to the world.
But there are moments when, whether it's a loved one or someone that you care deeply about, the idea of how they frame you can impact us. So no matter how much we want to free ourselves from it, do you ever worry that the person you will hold as your dream love person will grapple with your insecurity? Do you ever even remotely think about that, or you don't care? And if they don't accept you for you, then screw them.
Well, that's a funny one, because I've always somehow found partners in my life that have accepted it. And I think it's a way to filter those that are not good enough. So if a man's view of me being beautiful is purely from the exterior and they have an issue with my vitiligo, for me, that tells me that they're not the right person for me. And I've always found that there's been that acceptance. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
My last thing for you is that on this journey of you know, really having to confront your vitiligo, what are some practical steps you're doing? Because with me, it could be my height, it could be my skin, it could be a thousand things. Could anyone listening, whatever their vitiligo is, you know, we all take steps to confront it and to try to sort of, you know, dissolve the insecurity or confront it in a way where it can become a strength even. What are some practical things you're doing as you embark around this campaign, this vitiligo campaign?
I think it's self-reflection. It's a lot about understanding self and realizing that at different times in your life, you will tackle different things. And this campaign has come at a time, and it seems to be one of those universe listens times where the campaign has come in. There are other areas of my life where I've understood the impact that vitiligo has had in my social life, etc. And I'm starting to actually address these internally. So I think it's about timing. When you're ready to confront what it is that you feel as an insecurity, you will. And you need to be open to when that opportunity comes to step forward and actually go through that journey and be okay with going through it.
This is CliffCentral.com.
So a poem I really like is a poem by Neira Wahid called Ism from her book Salt. I love myself, the quietest, simplest, most powerful revolution ever.
This poem is by Rupi Kaur, and it reads, I do not want to have you to fill the empty parts of me. I want to be full on my own. I want to fill so complete I could light a whole city. And then I want to have you because the two of us combined could set it on fire.
A very special thanks to Juane and Nadia for your courage in fighting for vitiligo support and awareness. You can also support their work by going to www.beyondvitiligo.org. Also, a big thanks to Zara and Apalele for sharing your favorite poems. On a final note, fight to become your own Cupid, and the journey of love will be far more rewarding. We'll be back next week.
This is CliffCentral.com.